Let us now continue with the going in the sheets that we have on Perek Zayin of Mishlei. The going in Pasuk Yud Zayin, I took my Mishkov, says the Isha Zara, and I anointed it, I made it fragrant with Mar Aholim Vikinomai. You know, it's a very interesting thing. It's not Derech Agav that I'm saying this, but I think it's important to mention it, even though the going takes this in a different direction. The whole of... I've mentioned this many, many times. What's the difference between Ar Mahalach as Yidden in that which is animal in nature, what we have in common with the animals, and the way the world that is not with our Hashkafa, but nevertheless are human? How does the human relate to the very same phenomena? Everybody has a problem. The problem is that the human being cannot countenance that we have Bahamius inside of us, because we don't want to be Shove B'Shove with the Behemoth. At least most of us don't. And so how does the person who's secular, in his very core, how does he relate to those aspects which are Bahami? The answer is very simple. He creates a human cocoon, a human environment, a human ambience, which translates and redefines the animal. In other words, let's take achila, the very simple thing that's much easier to talk about than things that are not easy to talk about, especially in a base medrash, especially in public. Let's talk about achila. So you have a concept of a restaurant, and then there's a concept of a high-end restaurant. Now, what is a high-end restaurant? If you go to the back, into the kitchen of a high-end restaurant, you will not want to eat. Because the bottom line is that when the food is being prepared and chopped up and handled, everything is essentially the same. What do they do with the food in a high-end restaurant? They put some parsley on it. What I mean to say is they take something that is basic, a piece of meat, a piece of bread, and you redefine it. It becomes a culinary piece of art. And by the way, I am not minimizing it. Aki huzeh. Begimul dvarim oiv ani esaparsiyim. Lamaisa, there is something to it. And v'horaya, when we have a Shabbos meal, we bring out our silver bechers, and we make a beautiful tablecloth, and we have a certain environment which identifies that this meal is chashuv, this meal is special, this meal is different. We also have our ambiance. And when you go to a restaurant and you pay more money, you're paying for the paintings on the wall and for the carpet or tiles on the floor, and you're painting for the white gloves of the waiter who waits specifically on you, and so on and so forth. And when there's a wine list, so wine is a very interesting topic. There's a tremendous emes to wine and to the greatness of certain wines. The problem is that that emes is lost on 98% of the population. Most people like that little bubbly blue bottle of Asti that sells twice as much as any other bottle and basically tastes more or less like soda. And that's what people like. Now you have a fancy Cabernet Sauvignon, which is especially choshev because it has a French name, you know, the whole aura and sophistication is only for one tachlis, seriously, and that is to take the human common denominator with the animal and break it to pieces, to smash it to pieces. Ki loy machshavoysay machshavoyseichem, you tell the dog and the cat. We eat, but it's not your eating. We drink, it's not your drinking. And that is the same in areas that we cannot talk about. I always was overwhelmed by the Gemara of Rebbe Elazar ben Dodaya. But you have a person that was over on all the Averis and lived with all the Zaynus in the world. Now all of a sudden he does the kind of tshuva that Bacha Rebbe V'Omar Yesh Kaina Alamai B'Shoachas. What happened in that moment that triggered his tshuva? You know what happened? The ambiance was completely shattered by the totally animal moment, not of the relationship, but of breaking the ambiance. And once the lights were turned on, as it were, it could never go back to that moment, because the moment itself is totally bestial. It's totally animalistic. There's no redemptive quality to the moment itself. Because ultimately, the person wants to be the same behemoth as the behemoth. But you can't be a behemoth. So you create an environment. How does the Gemara describe the other story about the person who was Nizir and Tzitzis? That there were beds and ladders and gold and silver, and she was on all the way on the top. What is that trying to tell us? Who cares about gold and silver? Voshnella altspesa. The Teretz says ambiance, environment. It's not stamp. You have to pay a ton of money for this. This isn't a simple little thing. This isn't something you can get around the corner. You have to travel for this. So the environment, the aura, is built up and built up and built up. But in the end, it's exactly the same as the same nothing. It's the same behemoth. Now what happened was, heficha. It's like Shema Yofiach by the halachos of Tefillin. I don't have to spell it out. It was a sound that was emitted from her that was very gross. And all of a sudden, it's as if the lights went on. All of a sudden, the whole beauty, the whole aura, the whole presentation was shattered to pieces, never to be returned. And you know what she said? Whether she said it because suddenly she became a Balas Musa, or because she was frustrated, I don't know what. The Gemara doesn't elaborate. Gemara never elaborates. There's always something missing in the story. Any story. But the Gemara says that she said that just like this will never return, so Rebbe Elazar ben Dodaya will never be zeicha to Olam Haba. That created a moment of hirhu tshuva, the likes of which that Rebbe is Bocha v'Omar, and he goes out with such a powerful tshuva that he begs the whole of the cosmos to daven for him. The sun, the moon, the rivers, the mountains, and they all say, we're busy with ourselves. We've come that we can manage on our own. He says, so if there's nothing, no one can help me? So he puts his hands between his feet and he cries himself to death. Now that is a tshuva. Now that tshuva came from the hafocha. Now hafocha was a biological moment. And that broke the whole milieu, the whole environment. The difference between a yid who is an Eved Hashem, is that he goes beyond the ambience. He has a category called Kedusha. And Kedusha says that even in the animal, we're not better than the animal, we are not animal at all. That's the chiluk. When she says, Nafti Mishkavi Mora Aholos Upsamim, what she's saying is that I've created an environment for you where you won't feel the animal so much because you have an ambience. There's a fragrant odor here. You're not in the toilet bowl. So it's not the behemoth in the street. It's something more superior. It's something that poets write about. It's something that novels describe. It's something special. But the special is the same animal activity in a human malbush. Masha Ein Kein Ayid knows that these activities, for procreation you have to have them, but Lamaisa, these activities, you cannot satisfy yourself with the ambience. On the contrary, ambience undermines the tachlis of Kedusha, because it focuses in the end on the physical, except in a human sort of way. And that's the Yesod HaDvarim. That is mamish the Yesod HaDvarim. If you want to be an animal, things are uncovered. If you want to be the Kedusha, things are covered. If you want to be an animal, Motzei Tzalishtei Katarnagol. If you want to be the Kedusha, Tvilas Balkeri. And on and on and on. When she says Nafti Mishkavi, as you look at the psukim on page 1, you'll notice that this isn't the only thing that she says. She describes an environment which is very appealing, of which this is only one element. You take a look at the psukim on page 1. Marvadim Pasuk Tezai, in the previous Pasuk. Marvadim Ravadati. Arsi Chatuvos Eitun Mitzrayim. I have the finest materials, the most expensive bedspreads. What do you need expensive bedspreads for? The teretz is ambiance. Nafti Mishkavi Mora Holom Ukonomoin. L'cha Nirve Dodim Ad Haboker is Alisova Ahovim. Ki Ein Ha Ish Beveso Holach Bederech Meirachok. You know, we spoke about it, that she describes that her husband has gone away, and he's gone away in such a clear and unequivocal manner that he didn't leave his purse behind. He took everything with him. He has no reason to return. He's going to be away for weeks, and we have all this time to ourselves. This is the pitui of the Yetzer, that you're not going to get caught, there won't be consequences, you're not being observed. But the Maisa with the Chafetz Chaim, with the wagon guy, who went into the orchard, and the Chafetz Chaim says, oh, he's looking. And of course, he thought it meant the balabas, and he says, Chafetz Chaim, you have eagle eyes. I didn't see anyone. Chafetz Chaim says he's always looking. But he, with a capital H. So the Maisa, this is her pitui, and this is the pitui of the Yetzer Hara. Let's take a look at the Vilna Gaon's understanding. On your own, you should take a look at Pasuk Tetzayin. It's pretty straightforward. But he describes that when she says Marvadim Ravadati, and she speaks about her bed, she's speaking about the Tanuge Havle Olam Hazeh.
What's Kadla all mean?
Kadla, you know, I feel Kadli the Chaziri. These are certain fancy cuts of the animal. The Nafti Mishkavi, Pasuk Yud Zayin, Ki Masha Hochin Bi Inyone Olam Hazeh. The Einum is Boinin Drochav, Nikra Mishkov. She Shoyche Val Hamita, the Einoi Oiseklum. The Zeu Shoimeloi, Ein Lachal is Boinin Ata Bedarkacha, Ela Leach Kashelipcha Chofetz, Umashatom is Yore Meaveros, Adraba, Nafti Mishkovi, Masha Einanim is Boinin Imcha Achshov, Achakach Onif Oison, Miloshan Tenufa. Kmosh Amru Gedoyla Teshuva Shavonis Nasim Leike Zechuyos. B'chol Ma Sheyiyah Yoyse Yiyah Zechuyos Yoyse. This is the most astonishing thing. The Pitui of the Yetzer says, right now we have one agenda and one agenda only, and that's to have a good time. So don't think too much. But when it comes time to think, you should know that you'll be able to do a big tshuva, and all of the averus that you did will turn into mitzvahs. And since these averus are really horrible, then you'll have a tremendous number of mitzvahs in the end. Choma sheyiyah yoyse, yiyah zuchuyos yoyse. Morva holim ki namay no inyan, k'may shekotsuv morva holos, uktsiyos kol bigdoy secha, v'amru altima bigdoy secha, bigidoy secha. Beged and bigido, you know what bigido means? Treachery. Boged is a traitor. The treachery of the traitor, al tikri beged ela boged. Kloima shaveiros yu kischuyos. V'yesh gimel mina aveiros. Chait, avain, upesha. Now the Goyen never satisfied himself with these generalities. He always goes into the thick of things to say that aveiros are three. Hu shoygeg o asei, shehu aveiro ktano. Kesha oisa tshuva aleha, hi nasa mitzvah gedoyla. For avain, right? Yeah. So what is avayin, right? What is the other two avayin and pesha? I efsha shiyeh b'malas chait, afsha oisa tshuva, v'chait pesha, I efsha shiyeh b'malas avayin, l'zeh oimem mer, hu b'lashoyin kodesh, v'lashin zohar, zehu koyal chait, shiyeh b'malu gedoyla, v'holois, hu gamkin b'lashoin kodesh, achu l'ashoin dekeva, uktsiyoiz l'ashoin targum, Sheipsucha pechusa, I mean, miloshin kodesh. Vegamba loshin dekeva. It's very fascinating that he uses the grammar as a kind of an evaluation of what the thing is worth. Kisek koyal pesha. Avol hi, v'hainu ha isha zoyna shu yetzahara, Oimer lo sheker. What he's saying is that imagine for a moment that we say avonos nasu loy kizuchuyos. So we would come away with the concept that is, he says is not true. What is the concept that we might imagine, and which in fact the Yetzirah tries to convince us? See, the Yetzirah makes two arguments which are fraught with sheker through and through. Number one, that you can plan your averos nasen lo kizuchuyos and then do the averos, which is of course so totally absurd. It's much worse even than Toivo v'sheretz miyadai. That's number one. But besides that, inherently she's making a mistake. She's deluding you into an error. Why? Because she makes it sound like if you can, let's assume even a real tshuva, that if you can imagine a genuine tshuva is going to issue forth, then the bigger the avera, the greater you will be as a result of the tshuva. He says it is not so. He says, how could a person imagine that if a person does a small little avera, which is not so significant on the Richter scale at least, everything is significant. There's no such thing really as a small avera. Because every avera is a rebellion against Hashem of some sort. But shogeg, of course, is much less than mezid, and an assay is less than a los assay, except for a rare occasional assay like mila and so on. There's a chi of karis associated with them. Obviously, they're different. Maybe tzedakah is different, because, and then a lot of assays are associated with los assays. But assay generally is less than a lav, because you are violating something in a passive way by not doing the assay, whereas the rebellion of a lav is by violating, by doing something like eating chazer and so on. So it's much worse. But if a person does tshuva for an assay, which is an easier tshuva, then he's right back where he was and a ma'ala gedola. If a person does tshuva for a lav, he isn't better off than the person who did tshuva for an assay because he didn't do the lav. In other words, you don't become better off than not doing the avera and refraining from doing the avera. So the Goyin says this. Let's reread those lines. V'yesh gimel minei averos, chet v'avon u'pesha, chet u'shogeg, and chet also includes the least of the averos that you do consciously by refraining from doing the aseh. So it includes both the shogeg, the unwitting, as well as the willful but violation only of an aset, the sheva al tasa averus. But the next level, avain, right? Who efsha is not so easy Hebrew, but that's what he said. E efsha sheyia b'maylas chait afsha oisa tshuva. He says, not pshat that when you do tshuva, you're even bigger because you did the chait and the other fellow only did the aset. I mean, because you did the avon, and the other fellow only did the chet. And the same thing he says, v'chein pesha. If a person does an avon and does tshuva, and another person does a pesha, a rebellion against Hashem, a mamish, and it's wanton, it's brazen, and then he does tshuva, so is he on a bigger madreka because he did the tshuva than the person who never did the rebellion in the first place? Because he's not a rebellious person against Hashem? So he says, that's what he says, and then he has his whole shtickle Torah about the Lashonis and so on, why that fits into Mor and Aholis and Ketziyos. But then he says, on the next to the last line, that the Isha Zayna, who is in his vocabulary, the Yetzer Hara, Oimer lo sheker, shei hakol b'mala gedola, that whatever averus he does, including Eishes Ish Mamish, and consciously and brazenly, and thinking that the husband's never going to show up, we're free and clear, which is a total rebellion against Hashem, who always is there, that tshuva will put him back on the highest of madregas. So it says, "Lakach ein l'chol l'haniach milis ani kanduge olamazeh." The sheker convinces the person, don't worry, when the time will come, you'll have averus galore, and you'll have plenty to do tshuva for, and your tshuva will be magnificent, and you'll have olam hazeh and olam haba. Of course, I would venture to suggest that this is almost on the comical. It's almost sarcasm in Mishlei, the way the Goyin is being masbirit. Because it would never dawn on anybody that not only is this avera horrible, b'shas ma'isa, but it really precludes the possibility of tshuva. It would never dawn on anyone to think the opposite, that somehow doing these averos will gain for you olam haba sooner or later when you do tshuva. And of course, if you open up a Rambam and you look at the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva, and he speaks about bechira chofshes, the first thing the Rambam says is that what is the concept of tshuva gemura? And one of the ingredients that's required is that he should be in the same strength and the same circumstances and still refrain from doing the Avera. Everybody knows that Avera goyreres Avera. And everybody knows that the chances of doing tshuva are difficult even under the best of circumstances, because when an Avera is geshmak, the brain becomes rewired to want that Avera more and more. That's the way it is. And that's why it's never really enough. And if a person, the only chiluk that the Vilna Gaon made, this does not challenge the Vilna Gaon's Torah. The chiluk that the Vilna Gaon made remains in place, because the Vilna Gaon said that there are some taivas that don't even have any satisfaction, and there's some taivas that have temporary satisfaction. But the temporary satisfaction would mean, if it was permanent, that you never do the Avera again. It's over. And the exact opposite is true. Everybody knows that. Everybody knows that a person who's mezana and noyef, he always wants to be noyef again. That's the way it is. And eventually get bored with this woman. So you want somebody else who's more attractive, more exciting, or just plain different. Or new. But whatever it is, the person is never really finished, even if he's temporarily satisfied. That's, of course, not inconsistent with the Vilna Gaon's Torah at all. Now, what happens as a result is, the person becomes enmeshed in Averis. Furthermore, Averis have environments. There's no such thing as a tzaddik in a Beis HaMikdosh and Averis biyodoi the same as the person who's in the street. Because the street is the environment for Averis for that person. So if he needs the Averis, he's going to leave the Beis HaMikdosh and go into the street. And once he's in the street, there's a whole shopping list of possible Averis. So the Avera Goyreres Avera is not only inside of you, but it's in the environment that you've created for yourself. Loy lechinam holach zarzir etzor ha'oirev elo shehu minoy. The certain birds of a feather flock together. That's what Chazal, it's the same thing. People find their like-minded environments. They don't want to be in contradictory and conflicting environments. That's why you have all these kids at risk. They find a safe house for themselves, and they run for their lives, and they wait for the father and mother to go off on vacation. They take over the house for a week, for a month, whatever it is, and there they do kol dovar asur, because not only is there no one to stop them, but there's a fantastic reinforcement of self-compelling individuals who want the same thing or are escaping from the same things. And that reinforcement is the source of their strength. You strip them apart, and you have the yochid, all of a sudden, he falls flat like a balloon that was emptied of its air. Teenagers especially, they have the koyach of one another, and that is a tremendous koyach. I always say that the accidents that happen in cars, kids get drunk or kids are wild, are only with cars that have many kids in them. The teenager that drives by himself is much safer than the teenager who drives with friends. Because there's no goading the person, there's no challenging the person, there's no showing off to your boyfriend or to your girlfriend, and who can be more crazy and more rebellious and more difficult and more different. So Lamaisa, this is exactly why the Isha Zara is totally wrong. You can't do tshuva afterwards, because you're in an environment which has pulled you away from Kedusha and Tahara, and the consequences are so damaging that the person never climbs out of the mess that he's created for himself and for the needs that he's created, as he's basically rewired his biology. Now I need all of those things. The drug addict, you can't return. You can't return. That's why Rebbe Elazar ben Dodai is such a chidush nifla. Because he spent his entire life in the garbage can, and he comes out smelling like a rose in the end. And because of one episode, it's astonishing. It's absolutely astonishing. But Yesh Kein Olam B'Sha'achas is a tragedy, I want you to know. I said this many, many times. Yesh Karlo Shafas has in it the ingredient to look what a person can do, even for a moment. So how come we're not like that all the time? But Yesh Karlo Shafas has a very dark aspect to it. A person wasted his life. You know what a Rebbe Elazar ben Derdaya could have been if he has this kind of sanefesh to be that kind of Baal Tshuva? Who knows what kind of a Rebbe he could have been, what kind of a Moreh Derech he could have been, what kind of Kiddush Hashem his life would have been if he had not lost himself in all that schmutz. And in the end, it has to come out in one moment instead of a million moments. That's Bacha Rebbe. That's included in the Bechiya of Rebbe. That you can have an Olam, a Shah Achas Olam. The world can be his only because of Shah Achas. But what about the rest of his time on this earth? Totally wasted. Totally lost. Totally gone. And the Vilna Gaon says, famous word of the Vilna Gaon, I've said it many times even here. Din v'cheshbon. Why the repetition? Din is cheshbon and cheshbon is din. Lifnei mi ata osid litain din v'cheshbon. So the Gaon says, din is for the aveira, and cheshbon is for all the good that you could have done, the Torah you could have learned, the chesed, the mitzvahs, the ma'isim tovim, whatever that you could have done during that time. It's really scary. A guy opens up the internet and wastes his time, hours and hours, watching a movie. You can cheshbon is the movie, kosher is the movie, treif. Is the movie good? Is the movie bad? Is the movie good for his neshama or bad for his neshama? Chances are 99% of the time that the answer is negative. But the bottom line is that during that time, in theory, right, he could have called a friend, how are you, Yankel? Oh, I heard that you have a lot of tzaris. Listen, Yankel, I'm with you all the way. You're not alone. I daven for you. I care about you. When can I come over and visit you? A person at night, b'chadri chadorim, nothing to stop him. He can watch and do whatever he wants. But you can do mitzvahs too. You can open up a tehillim and daven for the. There's so much tzaris in this world. It's neither for ayin. I want you to know that. You know, the smile when I don't have a penny to my name to pay back my chayvus, I can smile. But when I hear people's tzaris, I can't smile. It's impossible to smile. Either the neighbor, but you just can't. You can't smile. Without tzabrachim. Without tzabrachim, Rabbi say. One story after another. Wherever you turn, it seems like everything is collapsing around. People have tzaris. A person's watching a movie. Hey, go pick up the phone. It's 2 o'clock in the morning. So sit down and write a check. Open up a chumash. Take out a Gemara. It's too hot. Call up somebody in Eretz Yisrael. It's 9 o'clock in the morning. Give him chizuk. There's plenty of those too. The opportunities to do are so squandered that to make a yesh kein olama b'sha achas is the biggest tragedy in the world. B'sha achas only. So that's the nekuda. The Vilna Gaon here is, by the way, astonishing, because we would never guess that that's the pshat. We'd say Yetzirah is attractive, and Yetzirah wants you, and Yetzirah paints a beautiful picture. But it would ever dawn on us, ever, that part of the picture of the Yetzirah is that in the end, you'll come out ahead of the game in Yiddishkeit. That's scary. And what the Gaon is saying is very simple. He says, how does a person face himself the next day? So there are a lot of reasons. First of all, a person says, I'm only human. That's the number one argument. I'm only human. What do you want from me? You know, tell me to do chesed, stalk, or call somebody in Eretz Yisrael. I'm tired. I want to watch a movie. That's number one. I'm not talking about us. I'm talking about stam a person, an abstract model. Then number two, okay, I need the break. I can't always be perfect. That's different than I'm only human. I'm only human means I have weaknesses and I fall. But the next thing is I didn't fall. I took a break. The third thing is that I'll do tshuva. It's okay. Some people say I'll do tshuva because Yom Kippur comes around once a year. And some people say I'll do tshuva because I have regrets. I think I mentioned this not so long ago, that there are two kinds of regrets. One regret is real and definite requirement for tshuva and a positive force. And the other regret is a chelik of the aveira. There's a built-in human nature regret that simultaneously undermines the chait aspect of the chait, and therefore lets you continue to another day. It's almost like if a person has to pay a penance. So he takes out, he does an Aveira, takes out a dollar, puts it in the pushka, that's the end of his Aveira. Because he's already provided himself with a kapara. Regret is a form of kapara. It's a very bad form of kapara, by the way. The person says, I did wrong, gives him the opportunity to do the same Aveira again, because he already finished, his parsha is over, he did wrong. So regret is sometimes a tool of the Yetzer Hara, believe it or not. So how does a person identify what's real and what's not? It's very pashut. The regret that's real basically does not allow him to do the Aveira again. The regret that's not real, the Aveira is going to happen the next day, all over again. Then you know that the regret is not only meaningless, it's very meaningful in a very negative way. But that's what the Goyin says. The Goyin says that the person is so capable of self-delusion. The Goyin psychology is very, very sharp. He's capable, a human being is capable of self-delusion that he can turn all those things. I'm weak, I couldn't help myself. That's a very, very minor failure of the personality. The greatest failure of personality is that we have the capacity to say that there's something good that's going to come out of this. That there's something actually positive in the ruchnius of the person. Because the makom shebal tshuva omdim ein tzaddikim gemurim yicholim la'amid. But you know very well what we learned. That the hay has that little opening on the top and the big opening on the bottom. And so therefore, says the Talmud Vayera, when you go in to that hay and you come full out of the bottom, you learn that you can't be close to the bottom. Because if you're close to the bottom, surely you're going to fall out. So what do? You steel yourself, you develop yourself, you train yourself, and you stay always all the way up at the top. When you stay up at the top, you tack on a higher madrega. So what is he saying in effect? That the Baal Tshuva has redefined himself as a tzaddik. Not the tshuva itself. It's the fact that a Baal Tshuva knows his weakness and that he stays in a very pure environment and he's constantly analyzing and inspecting himself and always guaranteeing that he's going to remain on that level. That's what makes him godel than the tzaddik. Because he really is godel than the tzaddik. B'mitzias. And he's made himself that way to protect himself from falling, because he's more likely to fall having tasted the chait already. Having failed already, he needs to support the good that's in him with such a strength that inevitably he becomes a vessel of Kedush and Tara more than the average tzaddik. That's how he explains it, the Talmud Dvora and other Tzvarim. Bezes Hashem Yisbarach, you know what? I'm going to need another day for this anyhow. But let's read just Yud Ches. The pasuk says that she says l'chanir v'doidim ad abayker kloimar shenase ma'asenu ad abayker shehu soif yomov this also ba'ahavim achakach kasheyoy abayker v'sparish mimcha b'kol mokom nismayach ba'avah rabba asher beinenu. It's unbelievable. Not only does the Goyin insist that she convinces him that he's going to do tshuva in the end so everything will be alright, but listen to this. You're going to have your cake and eat it. Because even when you do tshuva, and mamela we won't be doing these aveiros, but the memory of the aveiros will warm you in the nighttime. It's mamish mayridik. Listen to what he says. Is it or is it not what he says? He says, "Nasa ma'aseinu ad abayker shu seif yomov. Enjoy life as long as you can. But then you're going to get old and decrepit. So what's going to be then? Then you'll do tshuva. And what's going to be after you do tshuva? What about all of those warm moments? You'll still have your memories. Well, oy va'avoy to a person who never has Alzheimer's. He doesn't have all those wonderful memories with the Eishes Ish. Mikol makoim nismayach ba'ahava yishana. It's noira v'ayin. So what is it? The goyin is creating a wild story that the goyin is touching up the average Joe, the average Yidl. And the Yetzirah has a koyach to fadrei a person such a cock that in the end he's convinced that he's going to beat the system. That's really what it boils down to. He's going to have it all. There's a lot of examples of this. The people who cheat and swindle and do kol davar aser and lie and make people miserable, and then they want that shishi aliyah. They want the shishi aliyah because they take some of those profits and give it to the shul or to the beis medrash or to the yeshiva or to this or that. They expect to be treated with great deference. So this is not that Yetzirah talking. You'll enjoy yourself, you'll be a ganav and a gazlan, and they'll give you shishi besides. And once you get the shishi, believe it or not, you know what happens? The person thinks that he deserves it. It's not a volume, but it's true. Person doesn't go up to the aliyah and say, oh yeah, I'm fooling the whole world and I'm fooling the Ribbono Shalom and what's going to be? He gets up there, he holds on to those atzei chayim with brazenness. And he gives a bracha, he bellows it out, that shabocha bano mikolamim. And what he really means is that shabocha be. That's really what it is. That's the truth. Now, is that or is that not exactly what the Vilna Gaon is talking about? So when you read it for the first time, when I saw this for the first time, it mamish, the expression is, it blew my mind. Because the truth is, I mean, who would ever succumb to such a thought? But when you start digging a little bit deeper into the psychology of a person, and just slightly redefining it in terms of our own day-to-day, we realize how true this is for each and every one of us, barring all present company, of course. So, Bezus Hashem Yisbarach, we will continue, Bli Neder, later with this, with the growth.